Welcome back, listeners. On this episode, I spoke to cinematographer Blake McClure about his work on The Dropout. During our discussion, we chatted about the Ryan Murphy cinematic universe, threading the needle to the end of The Dropout, and much more.
So how did you get your way onto this, on this show?
I actually know the creator, Liz Merriweather. I've done a couple of shows with her. Bless This Mess, I shot the pilot for that, and I shot the pilot for Single Parents. So we had a history, and I kind of got brought into this this show last minute. I'm not sure, you know, for what reason. The TV is changing, you know, as you know, like there's such a demand for television right now, with the viewers and like just content in general. So like things happen so fast, production schedules happen so fast. I know they were shooting another unit, like they were still shooting episodes 5 and 6 when I started 7 and 8. So I think they were just like, I mean, it's a quick turnaround. We wrapped in October and it's already airing. So.
Oh, wow.
I got brought in just to do the last 2 episodes.
Got it.
Which is becoming more and more common in TV. Unfortunately, just because of that demand, you know, like the studios are trying to get these things done quicker. And they start doubling up and adding, you know, like more crews and just, you know, running the actors into the ground because they're going to have to bounce from one unit to the other. It happens. I've been doing some stuff in the Ryan Murphy world as well, and it's a similar situation. They're just trying to get it done as quick as possible. That's what it seems to me.
Yeah, that was another question I had for you. How did you get, I call it the Ryan Murphy cinematic universe. How did you get in that one?
Well, this tool called Instagram that we all know and love. I reached out to Nelson Craig, who was Ryan's cinematographer for years, randomly through Instagram. And then I introduced myself to him at one of the ASC awards, which happened to be last night, coincidentally. And we just stayed in touch through Instagram, which is kind of the way you do things these days, I guess. Yeah. And one day randomly, he just hit me up and said, "Hey, do you want to shoot Pose?" And I was like, "Yes, it's such a great show." Like the season one had already aired and I watched it and just really loved the character development and like exploring that side of life that, you know, most people don't get to see and, you know, connect with those types of people that, you know, most people don't even know about. It's like fascinating. Like they're just amazing storytelling. I really, really enjoyed that show. And for one reason or another, I think because they had to hire a local, they ended up hiring a New York DP. I didn't do Pose, but he brought me in to do Ratched. Like he directed an episode 3 of Ratched. So I shot that episode for him. And then just ended up doing the same thing, double ups. They call them double ups. It's basically 2 units running at the same time. So, you know, it's not second unit. It's a tandem unit going at the same time. So like I'd jump over, they would just like randomize the scripts or the days and just be like, "All right, you're going to shoot scenes, this from episode 4, this from episode 5, this from episode 6. And then you're just like shooting, you know, you're just tag teaming stuff. Mm-hmm. It happens too much in TV. I think it's kind of annoying because it's sort of like it's hard to take ownership in anything. I know it's sort of frustrating for the people that start the show. But it's happening. Like Watchmen, same thing. There was like 4 or 5 DPs that shot those episodes. Mm-hmm. It's almost like writing these days. Like you know, you have 25 writers in a room and everybody writes the storyline and the outline, and then one writer goes and writes the script and they get credited for it. But like, you really had 20 writers on that show. Yeah. Cinematography, for some reason, in television is becoming that. I think just because of the speed of the content that people are wanting content, you know, the turnover rate, basically.
That's interesting, because I think for the outside viewer, probably they're thinking, "Oh, well, we wanted to grab X director for this because, like, I think of Succession a lot because I think every single episode is directed by someone else."
Most people aren't even aware of that. Most people aren't aware that directors are, you know, come and go. Like every episode is directed by a new director. Mm-hmm. I mean, and most outsiders don't realize that.
Yeah.
And now it's like becoming kind of a DP thing as well.
So how did you keep that consistency on The Dropout? I mean, was this a little bit more straightforward? than something in the past that you've worked on, or did it require a bit more conversation between the two other cinematographers since you're finishing it?
Yeah, there's a thing where I know that Michelle set up the first four episodes, and I was under the impression, and I'm still not clear, that maybe the first couple of episodes she chose some vintage lenses. And then as they got into Theranos land, they went to these Summilux, more sharper, crisper lenses. But I mentioned that to the production line producer, and he was not aware of that. So maybe that didn't happen. Long story short, a lot of those things are set up before I get there. And by the time we get to episode 6 and 7, I knew that we were going to be doing these lenses. That sort of is already established. All the stills had been sent. I've seen all the dailies, or as much as dailies I could watch, and some clips. I've seen some edits of the first couple episodes. I talked to Michael Showalter, who was the director of the first four episodes as well. And then, yeah, a lot of communication. Jonathan was still on job. Michelle had gone off to work on something else, I believe. And I communicated with Jonathan mostly, because he got he really dove into the show with Michelle and got, her notes. And then I sort of got trickled down from her notes through Jonathan. But Jonathan was on set shooting, like I said, sort of tandem at the same time. So we'd be in the same building filming, he'd be down the hall and I'd be, downstairs or something, whatever. So we were able to I would bounce back and forth and check out what he was doing. A lot of it comes from the director too. The director had more prep than I did. She probably watched more episodes as far as tone and coverage of how to keep that consistent. It amazes me that we're able to do that, because you watch, I watched episode 5 the other night, and it looks great. It looks just like 1 through 4, there's no, I didn't notice a jump in quality or style. And that's a testament to the team, really. She put together a great group of Gaffer and Key Grip and the colorist, Dave Hussey, this everybody sort of helps keep that style and the aesthetic together. I referenced a lot of her, stills from the show, and just sort of did my best. I hope it works. I hadn't seen any of the other episodes other than some clips that they showed me before I started filming. But I've only seen my 2 episodes, and I watched those on mute while I was coloring with Hussey.
Oh, really?
What's that?
I was just saying, so you're good with that it's going to come out consistent with the others?
Yeah, that's, it's funny because it was Megan, our post producer, was on the session with us as well. And I asked her several times, probably too much, does it really feel like the same show? How did we do? Well, it's did we do a good job? Because that's all, I'm brought in to do a job. And I want to say that I injected my personal creativity, but it's hard to on a show that's already been established. So it's really just me kind of getting there and keeping their vision alive, working with the director and making sure that we're making the show consistent, really.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of my past work has sort of prepped me for that style of filming. I did a lot of SNL, or I did SNL for a couple of years, and so many of those shorts are emulating things that already existed. I sort of attribute that to I've just spent years of my life emulating somebody else's work for parody. And when you're a guest DP on a show that's already been established, you're essentially doing the same thing. You're trying to take the original DP's vision and look and keep it consistent. At least I'm not aware, but I don't think DPs are trying to one up each other.
Oh yeah.
That would be terrible for the show if something stood out.
No, you can do that in movies, but I don't think you can do that in television.
Yeah.
But sort of going back to, we're seeing the show sort of from the eyes of the outside, but also from the eyes of Elizabeth. Can you find the human in her at all? And besides the monster, I guess, that the outside world sees, today, were you able to humanize her in a way?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the allure is like you are like you're rooting for her. You know, that's she is the character that you want to sort of see succeed. It's almost a catch 22. Like there's this, you know, she's doing something terrible, but part of you wants to believe that she's not aware of that she's doing that. Like part of you wants to believe that she's actually fighting for something that she believes in. And whether she's a good actor, like she's just conning everybody, or, you know, she really believes it. She really believes what she was doing was the right way to run a company. Cause that's, you look at what she did. She just got startup investment money from investors to run this company. And yeah, she did a ton of stuff like great, you know, illegally and like advanced technology that didn't even exist. But the idea of taking someone else's money to start a product is literally how pretty much every company starts, the way every company starts.
Mm-hmm.
So she, you know, like maybe she believed she was going to figure this out. She had an idea and maybe she thought she was going to be able to hire the people that could figure this out. And maybe she never stopped believing. Does that make her crazy? I mean, yeah, kind of. Like she didn't live in reality, but that belief is kind of intriguing. Like it's almost like you kind of wish like we all had that sort of mm-hmm. almost, you know, perspective from a child's point of view. Like you just want to believe and just not give up hope.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, that's how I see it, her as a character is that. And of course, from the outsider, it's easy for us to say that she's crazy because she, you know, she's crazy. But there's this like, yeah, there's definitely an, like a side to her that I connect with. That's why I was obsessed with the documentary. Like those characters are so real. Like those people are so real. On a side note, but very similar, like I just built a house and had a terrible time with my contractor, and he's 100% a con artist. So I have like firsthand experience with a con artist, but I still find myself empathizing with him. Like I want to do nothing more than to cause harm to this man. But on the other hand, I still feel sorry for him. Like for whatever reason, why he did what he did to me, like I have no idea, but I still have this side that's just like, I feel sorry for him.
And is it that, oh, sorry.
No, that's it.
Oh, I was, what is it that sort of childlike quality? Because I mean, that's sort of where I get it from the Elizabeth Holmes character. I mean, she is very, well, she is childlike and well, at least from my perspective, she's childlike. And I think, I mean, you can see that from, I think the first scene of the entire show where she's running on a track and she's determined to finish, no matter what the cause. And I mean, the same with sort of the music drops that are sprinkled throughout the show. So there's very much a childlike quality to her. I mean, does that sort of permeate, I don't know, in the broader sort of like scammer universe, I guess, or is it something else?
I think it does. I mean, I think that's how they connect. I mean, there has to be something there to connect with other people, you know, like they're not true psychopaths. Cause I don't think psychopaths can connect emotionally with other people. And actors, you just, I don't know, like I've been around enough actors. I don't think I could just be conned by an actor. Maybe. I also don't think that people are just inherently bad. I think that, you know, like there's just, like I said, like maybe she just was told she could do something and believed it and just keeps believing it.
Yeah.
And that's exciting, but also sad. And like, you know, I don't want to hate her for it, but
yeah.
But yeah, like where do you draw the line, you know?
Mm. But it's also terrifying because like you said, it's happened to you. So.
Yeah. And that's why I like, when I started building this house, I controlled all the finances, you know, through the bank, obviously the bank loan and stuff. And I was like, there's no way this is going to happen. Like, this is the third house I've built. I have enough knowledge to know what's what. I was monitoring it. I was releasing the funds on a monthly basis. And it still happened. And it's, you know, like, I still got conned. Mm-hmm. It like, it's just like, it's crazy. It still happened to me. It blows my mind. Mm-hmm. And as much as it killed me and my finances, it also was like very intriguing, like fascinating. It's just a, it's another story, like character story, like to me, like how did this happen to me, first of all? And then who is this person that did this to me? Why did they do it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what was the, where was the intent? Was it malicious? Was it, you know, was it purely like accidental on their part? You know, there's still like, there's a gray area. And I think that's where, you know, like a lot of people have sort of come across that and experience that in life. And, you know, Elizabeth did it at the top of her game. I mean, an insane amount of people she convinced.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not like she was like this gorgeous woman. Like, you can't say that was what it was. Like, these dumb old dudes. I mean, maybe it was. Maybe there's just dumb old dudes that just like, just said, was like, all right, yeah, anything you say. I just don't want to believe that, though. I think that she was just really believable, you know, like she really believed in herself. And I think that's sort of key to most of what we do in anything in this world is like believing in yourself.
Mm.
becoming a cinematographer, becoming you know, a doctor. It's like believing in yourself. And like, you can, you know, if you have that background, you can sort of convince, you know, you can learn the trade and convince other people and just do the job. And like, I don't know, she had that amount that just convinced so many people, like George Shultz, and I think Kissinger at some point was on her board, and like this insane amount of people. Like,
that's just, I don't know, it seems the same across sort of all of these sort of tech startups, and then the ones that really do just become successful, then they're the ones that get exposed. But I feel like there's the sort of like common thread amongst them, which is, I don't know, that this whole trend that we're going through right now with all these different shows like the Uber show and the WeWork show is just, it's very interesting to see, I don't know, how they get away with it or how they don't get away with it.
Yeah, I mean, there's like the, what was that, Firefest, I think?
Oh, yeah,
there's
another one.
I don't know if there's been like a show for that yet, but I'm sure that's gonna come out soon. That is a documentary.
Absolutely.
It's the same concepts, you know, like they just convince people to do this thing. I knew a guy like that growing up, like same thing. It's just like he could convince anybody to do anything. It was like every time we go out to eat, he would like either complain about something or just be so convincing that something was wrong, he would end up just getting meals comps, and he would just never pay for anything ever. He would And it was embarrassing, but it was also like fascinating. Like, who is this human being? Like, what is happening right now?
Yeah.
Does he really believe that he's being wronged? Mm. yeah, like, I don't know. That's why I was drawn to it.
Yeah. But what were some of the other, I mean, pandemic aside, fast turnarounds, all of that, were there any particular challenges that you had on this project?
Yeah, I mean, aside from the normal ones, this one in particular, for some reason back to keeping it consistent, the hardest thing for me was, you know, like when you have a different director every episode, typically, you know, the DP is the through line, or there's a producing director or a showrunner on set. There's a creative through line on set that's there every episode, every day, that sort of knows, like, you might be straying too much. In this instance, we had a new AD and we had a new director and we had a new DP, myself. And I was just amazed that, I mean, we were able to watch clips from previous things, and Erica Watson was our director, insanely talented director. She must have had like the back door to all the other episodes that I didn't get to see, because she did an amazing job keeping it consistent. But like, we really were just like put out there and said, hey, here's the last two episodes, probably the penultimate episodes, like make it match, make it work, make it be consistent in the tone. You know, obviously the actors know what they're doing at that point. Amanda killed it. Like, she's the fantastic human being, the nicest person, and like so cool to watch work. So you have no problem there. Like, the actors know where they're going creatively, but you know, I didn't know where I was going. And you know, it's like we think this matches. Like, you know, the biggest note that I got from Michael Showalter was in sort of like that world that they were building, and interpretation, I think some of this interpretation was my interpretation of what he was saying to me, of like, Elizabeth's character is constantly on the move, and she's playing. She's hustling. She's constantly working it, you know, and I feel like that's what they were really trying to set out, that capture that style and like move the camera and like keep that world moving and like do handoffs from like deep background to foregrounds, really just to keep showing that movement and growth, or, you know, that hustle in the character that she was doing on a daily basis. That was like the biggest note that I got, you know, like, and what they asked us to do is to try to keep that consistent, keep that going. And then you just let the actors do their thing, you know? And then at a certain point, you know, you're shooting television, you have to like punch in and grab a specific moment, and you can read that on a piece of paper. You're like, oh, this is an important line of dialogue. Like, we have to cover this. But yeah, just the biggest challenge was just coming in and, you know, doing what I could do to keep those first two DPs happy, really. Like, yeah, proud of what we were doing, you know, from my perspective.
Yeah, and thread the needle to finish.
Yeah. But it was, you know, it was a fairly simple, I mean, say simple shoot, but like, yeah, I mean, there was, you know, the things that make shoots harder, like time or budget, or you have an actor that's not cooperative, and we didn't really have any of that, you know. Like, it was scheduled perfectly. I feel like the schedule was great, the way that they broke it down and how many days and, you know, pages we shot per day. We had a couple location shifts last minute, but yeah, nothing insane.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, what do you hope that audiences take away from this, and what did you ultimately take away from the show?
Good question. I mean, I don't know. You don't want anybody to really learn too much from her as a character. I don't think, but really, like, you know, just keeping from a character standpoint, like, just believing in yourself is such an important aspect of like anything, you know. Like, she really just believed what she was doing was right, and what she was doing could work.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. But, you know, like, from the seeing a show as an outsider and a viewer, I think it's important to show like the extreme. This is the extreme. Like, you can be out of your mind, crazy, and kind of be unaware of it. So like, keep yourself in check. Like, that's what I would see as a viewer. That's how I'd take it. Is like, yeah, don't forget you could be crazy.
And then final question for you. I mean, what's next?
I'm actually doing season 4 of Miracle Workers. I got brought on to do season 2. It's a show that's stars Steve Buscemi and Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah.
An amazing cast of other actors. But the best part about the show is like every season's a different world. It's like there's nothing carries over from season to season except for the cast. Like, there's no story through line. It's completely new. It's a new time period setting. Nothing's the same.
Mm-hmm.
So this season is, actually, I don't know if I'm supposed to say, but I'm sure it's fine. It's kind of like a Mad Max vibe, futuristic. Yeah, I'm excited about that. Because last season we were in, it was the Oregon Trail story. So it was kind of Western. And then the season before that we shot in Prague was set in the Dark Ages.
Yeah.
So it's a really fun show for a DP and a production designer, because of the design of the show. Like, you just get to go like real fun and real big and create a look that, you know, I grew up on 80s movies. So this season is going to be a lot of that.
Yeah.
80s and some zooms and some grain and a lot of crazy craziness. But yeah, that's what I'm doing. I start that next month. Right now I'm still kind of on paternity leave. I have a 3-month-old, and I just decided to take some time off and turn down a few shows right before Christmas because she was born in December. And yeah, be a dad.
Thank you all for listening. This episode was edited and produced by me, Jackson Vickery. Graphics were done by Dylan Michael, and the opening and closing theme were done by Sterling Gavinsky.